Welcome to Love You Most. This is the fourth episode, and it feels so weird because, like, it means that it's been like a month of this podcast. And I just want to say thank you. As always, this space wouldn't be what it is without you. And I've gotten so many messages from you all, and really, like, truly, the community is what brings me back to wanting to chat here. So thank you. This episode is all about things I've learned in my 30s. I will be turning 31 this summer, and I feel like this last year has been so transformational for me. And I think a large part of that is because I knew that going into my 30th year, I wanted to be transformed and I wanted to just live life a little bit differently. So I feel like from 27, 28, 29, I was really gearing up to get to my 30s and make these big changes that I feel like wouldn't have been able to be made if I hadn't been confident in who I am and I hadn't just like healed in a lot of areas that I needed to heal. So with that, we're going to chat about things I've learned in my 30s, but we're also going to have a little book chat at the end of this episode and also just a little mini Q&A chat. I usually put up a Q&A box in stories and I will just kind of grab like my thoughts, or not my thoughts, but I guess grab your thoughts for me to answer. And I just love like being able to kind of see what's on your mind, get to know you better. I want to make sure that I get to as many questions as possible. So I'll probably put up a Q&A box every other week just so that I can make sure I get through most of your questions, because you guys ask so many things. And since it's a shorter segment, I want to make sure that we chat as much as we can. So the first thing that I've learned in my 30s is one thing that I'm still learning, and it's still very hard for me, and it is that you don't have to drink just because everyone else is doing it. And I think in the Midwest, drinking almost feels like a rite of passage. Like, it's the thing that kind of steps you into adulthood, and it feels weird if you're not doing it because literally everyone around you is, I don't know, everyone has a drink in their hand. And I feel like as I've gotten into my 30s, I'm just really leaning into what makes me feel good and just stepping away from things that don't make me feel good. And one of those things is alcohol. I just feel like a lot of the time when I drink, I feel really tired afterward. My stomach kind of flip-flops. And I also was telling Brady that like I'll have one or two drinks and I will immediately just start feeling like not so good. And it doesn't really matter what it is. It could be wine, it could be anything. And my stomach just like does not sit well with it. I do have a buckwheat allergy, which is in a lot of like beers and stuff because it is a wheat. So maybe that's part of it. I'm not really sure, but I feel like for so long, I just kind of dealt with that. And I didn't really, I don't know, think about how it made me feel. And I would just do it because that's what everyone else does. And it's fun. And for so long, I felt very uncomfortable to be in spaces without a drink in my hand because I wasn't comfortable with who I am. And so now I am really leaning into just what feels good, and what feels good is not drinking. But I don't think that I'm at the point where I can just say I'm like completely not drinking or even want to. I'm not really sure if that's the path I want to take. I feel like I have a hard time with like definites, but I really lean into in that moment, what am I feeling? And most of the time it's just like not drinking. And I really want to encourage you that if you're in your early 20s or mid 20s, I feel like this is such a hard thing to stay away from because there's so much peer pressure. And even now in my 30s, like if I'm out with friends or if I am at like, I don't know, a dinner or something and everyone's getting a drink and you say you don't want one, there's usually a question asked and people are usually wondering why. Whereas if you, you know, let's say decide to have a salad for dinner versus having like a meat entree, no one's really asking you why you chose what you did. But because alcohol is such a different thing to like let go of, I feel like a lot of people are very curious as to why you made that decision. And sometimes people get very like pushy and really want you to drink with them. And I just want to encourage you that if that's not what you want to do, don't do it. And that's with anything. If you're someone who wants to drink and you're in a group of people that don't want to drink, then you do whatever feels most comfortable to you. And I really wish I could have leaned into just what I felt good for me whenever I was in my 20s, but that's something I'm definitely taking into my 30s and I'm still learning. The second thing is that happiness is a choice. I cannot stress this enough. I feel like whenever I was in college or I was in high school, I always felt like happiness was going to come to me and I would feel happy based on like what was happening in my life. And so I was constantly like chasing that happiness, you know, I was chasing, you know, that feeling. And that feeling usually comes when you buy something, when you go somewhere, when you meet new people or you have new experiences. But if you're living in a small town, that does not happen very often where all of those things like kind of culminate together. And so I have really had to sit with myself and learn that I can be happy every single day because I'm choosing that and I'm choosing to find the good and the joy in whatever I'm dealing with in that moment. And yes, it might be hard, but I feel like if I'm not choosing happiness, I'm choosing something. And that's probably going to be not, it's like the opposite of happiness. And so sadness or anger or frustration or, you know, whatever that other emotion might be. And I would rather choose happiness because I know that that's going to bring me the best moments in life. And it's definitely not easy, but I think knowing that happiness is a choice or really focusing on that has helped me really focus on like where my mind is going. Like, am I spiraling whenever I'm thinking about something that's frustrating me? Am I giving myself enough time to relax whenever I'm stressed to kind of bring back the happiness into my life? And the third thing that I've learned in my 30s is to find joy in the little things. And this kind of connects with the second thing that I've learned in my 30s about happiness being a choice. I feel like to find that happiness, I feel like you have to find the joy in the little things. And by little, I mean like super, super small. Like one of you guys actually messaged me today and you said some things that you're going through and you asked, how can I be happy when I don't have X, Y, and Z? And it's hard to explain that like joy is a feeling, but happiness is a choice. And I feel like to bring that feeling of joy into your life, you have to really like let go of what's bothering you or frustrating you and things that you can't change and really hold on to the good that you already have. And then it'll help you realize that you don't really need anything else, or you don't necessarily have to have the other things that maybe are going wrong go right for you to have a good life. And so I kind of just let the friendship I was talking to know that yes, these things might be going wrong, but give yourself grace for where you are right now and really think about how much you've grown and the things that maybe are different in a good way, like now than they were then. And so I said, maybe you have more love for yourself than you used to. Maybe you have more grace for yourself than you used to. And there's always something, but I feel like we usually overlook what that something is, that good is. And so for me, I try to find joy in the little things each day. And so for me, like today, I went outside and I flew a kite. And yes, it was very hot. I was wearing a hoodie, probably shouldn't have done that in the heat. But I could have focused on all the bad things. Like whenever I took the kite out, I couldn't get it up for a while. I was running around, I was sweating. You know, it was hot. I was wearing this hoodie. I should have worn a tank top. All these other things, the ground was wet, you know, my feet were kind of squishing into my shoes because the ground was kind of like swamp-ish. And it just could have been a long list of things, but what I focused on was how high the kite got in the air and how much I laughed and how I was able to just have such a good day by myself, how the sun was shining on me and how it felt on my skin. Just all those things, like getting down to like the smallest of small things, I feel like the more I started thinking about those things, the less I thought about the things that were frustrating. And that's how I find joy in the little things. I just get really down to like the minute, small, small things. The next thing I've learned in my 30s is to learn to say no. And this is something that I'm still learning. It's very hard for me. And I think it's because I always felt like to be a good person, you have to be there for everyone. And to be a good sister, a good friend, a good spouse, partner, whoever, you have to show up for those people. And by that, I always felt like you always have to show up for those people. And I think in big, you know, things like baby showers, funerals, bridal showers, weddings, things like that, obviously are things that I show up for. But when you have a lot of family members or siblings, you have a lot of friends, coworkers, or whatever, just a lot of people in your life, I feel like it is very, very, very hard to say no and not feel like you are letting down someone or you're not giving someone what they need when they need it. But sometimes you have to say no because you have to put yourself first and give yourself what you need when you need it, because no one else is going to, you know? And that's something I really am still learning. It's very hard, but I feel like the more I learn that, the easier it'll be as I get older and the more comfortable people will be with me saying no, because I say it often versus, you know, once every, I don't know, year or two. The next thing that I've learned in my 30s is that everyone isn't going to like you, and that's okay. And this is another one that I am still learning and is still very hard for me, because growing up, I was home educated, which I honestly absolutely loved being home educated. I don't think there was anything about being home educated that I would say I didn't like. But I do think with that, I really wanted to fit in with the people around me because I wasn't constantly seeing them daily. And I almost felt like if I wasn't seeing them, then they would forget about me or I wouldn't be interesting to them. And so I was always kind of grasping at straws to make sure that I was at front of mind for them and I was that friend that they felt like they could lean on or they felt like would, you know, always show up or whatever. So I was always bending over backwards. And I remember this one time when I was in, I don't know, not high school, I think it was like middle school, and I went to a sleepover and we did like truth or dare. And I remember in the truth or dare, someone said dare and I said like, sure, like what am I gonna do? And they said, you should get a swirly. And I was like, well, what's that? And they're like, well, you have to put your head in the toilet upside down and then let someone flush the toilet. And I feel like at the time I was like, oh, this is all in good fun. Like, this is funny. Like, you know, something you do with friends. But now looking back, that wasn't something that, for one, anyone else would have wanted to do there. And two, all of the dares that everyone was doing that night were pretty, like, I don't know, pretty minuscule. They weren't really anything crazy. And this was probably one of the craziest things that someone had to do. I mean, we were in middle school, granted. And I remember going and doing that, and I'd just gotten like a fresh set of braids, really tiny. You know, they had the little like beads at the end, super cute. And I remember thinking, if I get the swirly, my braids are not gonna like look good. And it takes absolutely like so long to get them done, just hours. And I remember I stuck my head in the toilet and the girl pushed the toilet like seat thing, whatever, and it like flushed on my hair. And I don't even think that I registered that until I got older, that I was so desperate for people to like me that I really lost myself. And I was so desperate for people to see me as valuable that I was constantly giving up pieces of myself and doing things I didn't want to do. And I don't think I realized that until I got to like my late 20s. And now I've really had to grasp the fact that everyone isn't going to like you, and that really is okay. Because if someone chooses not to like me because I didn't want to do a dare and get my hair flushed in the toilet, then that's fine. Or if someone chooses not to like you because you are too happy, too loud, too vibrant, or maybe too quiet or too introverted, that's fine. Everyone is not for everyone. I remember whenever I was at a summer camp one time, there was a girl that was there, and I remember she didn't really care for me. And I remember asking her, like, I feel like you don't like me. Like, is there something I've done to you? And I remember still to this day, she literally said, no, I just don't like you. And that was so hard for me to grasp because I kept thinking, well, what did I do for you not to like me? But that is a very common thing for people to feel. Usually people don't say it, but it's very common for people just to not like someone for whatever reason. And maybe it's showing something in them that they wish that they had, or maybe by not liking that person, they're not liking a characteristic that they already have and it's replicated in that other person. Or maybe they just don't like them for whatever reason. But I have had to really grapple with this, but I feel like the more I learn to love myself, I realize that I love every bit of Shaughnessy. And if I love every bit of her, then who am I to look at someone in the face and beg them to love me back? And so this is something that I feel like is hard to learn, but when you learn that everyone isn't going to like you and you're okay with it, I feel like it opens up so many other doors for you in your life. Another thing that I've learned in my 30s is to stop saving the nice things to use later. I feel like I was constantly trying to save my best outfit for Friday night, or I was constantly trying to save my best hairstyle for Saturday. I was constantly trying to save my money for when I would go, you know, to the movies with friends versus go by myself and watch that same movie. And I just wanted to have like friends with me, so I would wait like a couple weeks to see it. And I guess I feel like as I've gotten older, I've realized that tomorrow is not promised. Like, it's literally not. Like, we could, wherever you are, anything could happen. And no one ever knows, like, that their last day is coming or expects it whenever it's just, like, out of the blue. So why would we wait to wear that best dress or to wear our favorite shade of makeup or to wear, you know, that hairstyle or to go to that destination or to call that person or to text that person or to apply for that job or whatever, because we don't know that tomorrow is coming. So that's something that I have really tried to do, and I feel like it's made my life so much better. Another thing that I've learned in my 30s is to try new things often, and I feel like this is something I talk about a lot. I think that the more we try new things, the more we realize that we don't need to travel to get that feeling of like new experiences, and we don't need to like meet all these new people to get like that feeling of excitement. And I think sometimes, at least for me, I've always been the type of person where I've just traveled left and right, like every other weekend I'm gone, or I've just had this desire to be somewhere new. And I think a large part of that is because I was waiting to the weekend or waiting, I don't know, to until I had friends with me or whatever to go do fun things. And now I just do them on my own and I try to do them often. But like today, when I flew that kite, I have not flown a kite since I was a kid. And I swear something in me just woke up that has been asleep for so long. And I think that that feeling only comes when you try new things, but when you try new things often, because it helps you realize as a human that good things are going to come to you often, and you don't have to wait, you know, a full week, or you don't have to wait a full month for something fun to come around. And another thing that I've learned in my 30s is to listen to my body. This is something that goes even past, you know, not drinking alcohol. I feel like I have really, as a woman, tried to learn my body better than ever, because when you have a period or when you're working out or, you know, when you're fluctuating in weight, you, or at least I, want to feel the best that I can in all of those situations. And I think the more that I actively listen to how my body's changing, it just helps me, like, when I'm not listening to other people and I'm just genuinely listening to what my body's trying to tell me, it helps me make better life decisions. And the last thing that I've learned in my 30s, I'm still working on, is to talk less and listen more. I think that so often we want people to hear us and we don't want to hear them. And I think the more we try to listen to each other, or the more we give space for people to tell their stories and we actively listen and empathize, I feel like this world would just be a much better place. And so those are all the things that I've learned in my 30s, but I want to get into our next segment. And this segment is just all the questions you guys have asked. One of you guys asked one of my favorite quotes, and I truly don't know if I have a favorite quote, and I feel like it's because, especially now, for one, I have a bad memory, but two, I have really stopped listening to anyone when it comes to like self-help. And I think it's because I'm trying so, so hard to like listen to myself. Because I feel like if I'm in my 30s and I can't like navigate my own life and figure out like what I need, then like, I don't know. I feel like I have a lot of the answers in life already, and I need to stop like looking to everyone else, because everyone else will always tell me something different. So I don't have any favorite quotes at the moment, but maybe in the future I will. One of you also asked, how do you find or meet your closest friends? And if you want to learn a little bit more about this, you should go back and listen to last week's episode that's all about how to build friendship. I've met some of my closest friends at the gym, at random like get-togethers. One time I was invited to this bonfire and I literally almost didn't go. Like, I'm so serious. I was like 2 seconds from just being like, actually, I'm not going to go. It was 40 minutes out of town to go to the bonfire. I didn't know the person who was having it. I knew someone who was going, but like we weren't super close. And so I decided to go, and I literally met some of my closest friends at that bonfire, and we hang out to this day. And I've met some of my friends just from messaging them online and asking them to hang out. I've met some of my closest friends just at random things. But I think the biggest thing I can say and biggest encouragement to making friends is to actually get out there. Like, imagine if I had stayed home and not went to that bonfire. Like, I wouldn't have met those girls that I'm literally obsessed with right now. And so I try to remind myself of that often, especially on nights where I'm like, oh my God, I would rather be inside reading a book instead of going to this thing. And the last segment of this episode is going to all be about books. And I asked what you guys were wanting, and it seemed like most of you guys just wanted me to talk about the books I'm reading and how I'm enjoying them. Right now, I'm reading Malibu Rising. I'm very, very close to being done with it. I'll probably be done with it tonight. And this is probably my least favorite Taylor Jenkins Reid book, because I've read One True Loves. I've read Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. I've read, what are the other ones? Daisy Jones and the Six. I've also read Carrie Soto Is Back. So this is my fifth Taylor Jenkins Reid book. And again, I love her writing, but I think this one would just be kind of in the middle for me, just very mid, very average. But I did like the storyline. Kit was absolutely just, oh my God. I think she's my favorite because she's so like strong. And I liked how she would just say stuff to her dad that I feel like no one else was wanting to say. I also liked how the characters grew, even though it was just only one night. I feel like by the end of the night, just like everyone has just grown so much. Granted, I haven't finished the book yet. I have, I think, like 30 pages left, but it's very good so far, but not better than her other books. But I feel like if you've never read one of Taylor Jenkins Reid's books and you read this one first, you'd probably really like it. But I feel like because I've read four others, comparing it to those just isn't as good. I also have been reading, I think it's called Love is a Revolution, and I'm not obsessed with it. And I think it's just because the character is a little insufferable. Granted, it is a YA book. And I think that the author wanted the book to really resonate with young adults. It's by Renee Watson. But the whole book is pretty much about her lying. And I kind of thought that she would confess like to her lies a little earlier in the book, but the book's almost over and she's like just now kind of having like this revelation. So I'm not obsessed with it, but it could probably be a better book for like a younger audience. I'm also reading a little Life by Hanya. Oh my gosh. I literally am going to butcher the last name. Yangahara. I know I'm saying that wrong, but the book is interesting so far. It definitely seems sad. I'm only about 100 pages in, 98 to be exact. I just got to like the first like part or second part or whatever. And so many of you guys have said I need to keep reading and get past 100 pages, and I've never DNF'd a book, so I don't think I will with this one, but it's definitely taken me way longer than other books because it's just, it's a little heavier and the words are so small and the book is so big, which is a little daunting. But I like to read three books at once because it really does help me. Like if I'm not feeling, you know, a little life, I can jump into something else. If I'm not feeling Malibu Rising, I can jump into something else. And it just really helps. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope you guys will come back for the next one. It's going to be a really good one. And yeah, I love you most. I love you more than anyone you know. Well, maybe not, but I love you a lot. And I hope you guys have a great day. Bye, guys.